Let's start with our lesson tonight. Tonight we're looking at chapter number 10 of opening up Proverbs, which tonight's theme is on our words, communication. And this is a very, very big theme in Proverbs. He mentions in the opening paragraph of the lesson that about 1/6 of the book deals with communication in some fashion. About 150 verses or 150 times it's talked about in 915 verses. So it's a very, very important theme in Proverbs. And so a father is teaching his son, a mentor is teaching his disciple how important it is for us to be careful with our words because they're incredibly powerful. And so tonight we're going to look at this theme together. And the first point is just that words are powerful. The Apostle James reminds us of that, doesn't he, in the New Testament? He says the tongue is like a fire. It can produce a lot of damage with just a little bit of effort. Almost kind of like the picture of somebody lighting a match or setting a campfire and not taking care of it properly, and it spreads and becomes a wildfire, uncontrollable. And he says that's kind of how our words can be. Our words can spread quickly and cause all kinds of destruction. Proverbs talks about that theme as well and talks about how the tongue has the power to build up, but it also has the power to destroy. It's an incredibly important aspect of our lives. Seeking to live in wisdom under the fear of God, this is a really important area of our Christian walk. And so we need to remember just how powerful, how important words can be in our relationships with other people. He also mentions that words are limited. So they're powerful, but they're also limited. There are some things that words can't do. So sometimes we need to put action behind our words. We need to make promises, but then we also need to back them up and come through on them. Sometimes in Proverbs, words are not enough to rebuke someone, such as a child. Sometimes you need more stronger discipline to take care of a rebellious child, perhaps. So words are incredibly important. They're powerful, but they have a limit in terms of what they can do, and they need to be backed up by action. Also, he mentions a very, very important truth that Proverbs talks about, as well as Jesus talks about in the New Testament, and that is that words really are a window into what's in our hearts. If you want to know about a person's character, over time, you will get to know that person's character just by the things that they say. Maybe they're a comedian, and they're always talking, and they're always making jokes, but the kinds of jokes that they make are not appropriate. Maybe they're a perverse or dirty kind of humor. Or maybe they are always exaggerating the truth, telling lies, making themselves look good. Maybe they're all the time talking about other people, tearing them down. Or the opposite. Maybe this person is incredibly faithful in their words. You know that when they say something, you know that it's the truth. So you can find out a lot about people by the way that they talk and the way that they live their lives in relationship to their speech. Jesus says that it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so it reveals who we are. It's a very important window to our heart. And so then what he does really for the rest of the lesson is he looks at our speech from two sides. One of them is the negative side. Here's what you should not do in the way that you use your words. And then the rest of the lesson is on the wise way, the right way to use your words. And so he talks about how our speech can destroy. And so we need to not use our speech in that way. And he talks about some different ways that our speech can be foolish and destructive. And then he talks about how we can use our speech for good and use it for wisdom. So let's talk about destructive speech first. And I'm going to go through this. He lists several different ways that our speech can be destructive to other people, to those in authority over us, to those who are under us, to the people that we love. And these different kinds of speech can be very hurtful to people. The first one he mentions is flattery. When you think of flattery, what comes to your mind? How would you define flattery? inflating. Yeah. Building somebody up, complimenting someone, saying nice things to someone, but not necessarily always truthful, right? Or maybe over exaggerated, inflating maybe a little bit. And also, yeah, go ahead.
I think of Eddie Haskell.
Yeah. With Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver, you know, always saying, always complimenting Mrs. Cleaver on her dress or how wonderful she looks. And then upstairs with Wally and the Beeve, right? He's a rascal, you know, plotting and scheming all kinds of things. So flattery, yeah, saying nice things to someone's face, even at times when you don't mean it. Also, when I think of flattery, I think of an ulterior motive, that you're complimenting somebody, you're saying nice things, you're building them up, but you're doing it more for yourself than for them. It's something that you want. It's kind of manipulative. So you're using it in an underhanded way. So you can build somebody up. It might be true. It might be a little bit exaggerated, but flattery, there's always a selfish element to it, that you want to get something from that person. And so watch out for flattery. And here's the thing that Proverbs teaches us too, is not only on our side, the one giving the speech, that we need to be careful that we don't flatter people for selfish motives, but also on the receiving end, right? On the listening end. That's one of the things that the father warns his son about with the adulterous woman, is she can flatter with her speech. So be careful of people trying to build you up and manipulate you for their selfish ends. So watch out for that as well. Another kind of hurtful speech that he talks about is lies, dishonesty. We all know what that is, don't we? Dishonesty, telling untruths. And sometimes we do this to be malicious, to hurt people. Sometimes we do it to cover ourselves, to cover our own tracks, to maybe get out of trouble. Almost all the time, there might be some exceptions, but generally speaking, lies tend to be self-serving, don't they? In that, I'm going to tell an untruth for my good, or what I at least perceive to be for my good. I want to get out of trouble. I want to avoid punishment. I want to get something from you. So lies can tend to be speaking untruths for our own purposes. What kind of, other than just an out-and-out lie, what are some other applications of situations in life that maybe we could put into this category of lying? I'll give you one just to kind of get the ball rolling. How about putting down a wrong number on your tax return and sending that off to the IRS? That's lying and also stealing. And so that would be a form of dishonesty. What other kinds of forms of dishonesty, maybe like that, practical applications, can you think of, things that we might encounter in our everyday lives? All right. Bank teller gives you too much money. And so honesty, integrity would compel me to let her know about that, right? Or him know about that. Yeah, that's good. What about, I mean, this may seem not very hurtful, but what about the fish I caught was this big, right? But it was really this big. Is that a hurtful lie? Does that really matter?
I don't know, Don's not here waiting to ask me.
Oh, Don's not here? Okay.
You're talking to a fisherman.
Yeah, right. Why would we do that? I mean, why would we say things like that? We want to build ourselves up. And not just with fishing, but a lot of times we want to sometimes exaggerate a little bit because it's out of pride. We want ourselves to look good sometimes. I remember, little kids, they talk about stuff like this all the time. They're always competing with their words, and they'll say stuff like, my dad's car is faster than your dad's car and all this kind of stuff. Well, yeah, well, I remember stuff like this when I was in like second grade. My dad's car can go Mach 1, you know, just like ridiculous stuff, exaggerating because we want to compete with each other. And a lot of that comes from selfishness and our own pride and wanting people to think well of us. So there's all kinds of different kinds of deception, lying. Some are more hurtful than others. but a lot of times they have ourselves at the center. What about gossip and slander? Gossip and slander. How would you maybe distinguish between those terms? Is there a distinction that you would make between gossip and slander? Yeah. So gossip, maybe, you know, passing around information that may be true, but really it's not our business to talk about. It's not really helpful to the person for us to be talking about it with other people. I think they're very closely related, but I do think, you know, slander probably does have a little bit more of a hurtful purpose to it. And I think even in our jurisprudence system, you can sue someone for slander because they're saying things about you that are not true and maybe hurting your reputation, hurting your business, maybe trying to cheat you out of something. So slander is very, very serious offense, even in legal situations. But they're both hurtful, aren't they? They're both hurtful to other people. And we need to be very careful about this. But we're very attracted to this kind of thing, attracted to hearing it, aren't we? We think sometimes, this is why the tabloid industry is very successful, right? You see these newspaper stands on the side when you check out at the grocery store, and it's all kind of these juicy bits of information. You know, who knows which one of them are true, but they grab your attention, right? And we're interested in that kind of stuff. And we ought not to be, because this has to do with somebody's personal life and this is their situation. And we really have no point in, we're not helping that person. We're not helping myself in spreading that information. I think within the church, this can be really devastating, where you start to talk about people, and sometimes it can start very innocently and it can even start with a good motive. But sometimes if we're not careful, it can very quickly lead to gossip and saying more than we should. This is kind of a joke in churches and Christian circles, but sometimes gossip just starts as prayer requests, right? We need to pray for this person because here's the information. So we need to be careful about that too, that we not try to wrap our gossip in terms of prayer or, you know what I'm saying? We need to be careful about that. So not trying to hurt other people with the things that we say. What about anger? Angry speech. We can hurt people with angry words, can't we? Just tearing people down to their face, saying very hurtful things about them, degrading them in front of other people, just lashing out in anger. Angry words can hurt very deeply. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword." And in Proverbs 29:22, "A hot-tempered man abounds in transgression." And so we need to be very careful about speaking too quickly when we are angry. What does the book of James say? Let every person be slow to anger and slow to speak, right? Interesting that he puts those two things together. Slow to anger and slow to speak, but be quick to listen, right? So we need to be on guard against saying things too quickly when we're upset, when we're angry. Quarrelsome speech. Quarrelsome speech is, I guess you could talk about it in the sense of just being argumentative, debating all the time, arguing, and a lot of times about things that aren't even really that important. Just maybe having a contrarian type spirit where everything has to be argued or everything has to be debated, or always having to have the last word on something. My wife is just smiling at me. You must be thinking of something in particular.
Particular child.
Oh, particular child. Okay. It's just, you know, here's a point. Well, I don't like that point. I'm going to argue it just for the sake of arguing it, right? And that can be devastating within a church body too, can't it? Of you've probably, hopefully not here, but there's probably been times, I've been in some, where you've seen even a church business type meeting get a little bit heated and argumentative, sometimes over things that aren't really that important. You know, you've heard the jokes about churches splitting over the color of the carpet or, you know, the color of the pews and things like those. That's just not worth arguing about, is it? Just quarrelsome. It causes strife. It divides people. And they're a very good verse in Proverbs 17:14 that says the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. It's a very interesting analogy, isn't it? That once you remove the dam from a river, you can't stop it again, right? Or that you can't get that water back that's already out. It's already gone. It's flowing. And he likens that to an argument, that once that starts, it's released, and it's hard to put that back in the bottle. And so he says, stop it before it even breaks out. So we need to be careful about always having to be right. Yeah. 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 And it's sad, isn't it, when the body of Christ gets to that point. And there are many churches that have situations like that. And I've seen some meetings like that as well that are just a lot of strife and division. And it's not good for the testimony of Christ, is it? One of the things I thought about with this argumentative speech or quarrelsome speech is there are times when we might be right about something, but we don't always have to show that we're right. Does that make sense? Like, there might be times when it's just really not that big of a deal for the other person to know that we're right. Now, if it's an incredibly important matter that needs to be debated, needs to be argued, well, we can do that in the right way. And we can talk about things and we can do pros and cons and the different sides of an issue, but we can do it in a right way. And there are times when on lesser things that are not really that important, we don't need to remind people that we're right or try to prove to them that we're right. We can just let it go so that we can avoid the strife and the confrontation. Perverse speech. And this just has to do with that which is filthy or inappropriate, dirty jokes, innuendo, off color. And this is not something that should be a part of our speech as believers. And we need to be careful about being on the receiving end of it too. And this is something where we have to be on guard against, because a whole lot of the things that are available for us to watch on television are in this arena, in this area. Or sometimes they're overtly in this area. Sometimes they're pushing the boundaries of this area. And we need to be on guard that we not allow that to continually barrage our minds. Because Proverbs also says to guard our hearts, because out of it come the wellsprings of life. And so how do things get into our heart? Well, they get into our thinking through our senses, right? What we see, what we hear. Those are the two main ways that thoughts, that information can get into our minds, through what we see and what we hear. So we need to guard those gates to our hearts and not let things that we should not see or hear continually bombard us. So be careful on the receiving end of that too. There's proud speech, which we've talked about this a little bit with exaggerating, but that is just all the time talking about yourself or talking about your accomplishments, or just speech that is self-inflating, making yourself look important. We need to be careful about that. Remember that everything that we are because of God's grace. We need to humble ourselves before God and before others. Proverbs talks about excessive speech, just talking too much. And one of the amazing things, he says in the very beginning of the lesson that the average person speaks 15,000 words a day. Obviously, some more, some less. But that's a lot of opportunities to get into trouble, isn't it? The odds are not in your favor that you're going to get through the day without saying one word that you wish you could take back. and undo. Anybody in this room ever said anything that you wish you could take back? Every single one of us, right? We've said things that we wish we would not have said. And so we need to be on guard against speaking too quickly, speaking too often. It's okay to be silent. It's okay to be silent. I know for me, I need to remember that, because there are times when, and I think all of us try to do this sometimes, there are times when maybe we're having lunch with someone, or, you know, we're driving down the road and you almost feel that tension of, I need to fill this vacuum because there's this dead space here. I need to talk about something. Well, yeah, it's good to talk, but there's also, it's okay to be quiet too. You don't have to talk every moment, and it's better to not say something than to say something that would be hurtful, or to say something that would be inappropriate, or to regret something that you would say. So Proverbs says, guard your words, be slow to speak, because when you're silent, even if you are foolish, when you're silent, you let people know, think that you're wise. So guard your words. Yeah. That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point. And that all of that electronic way of communicating, whether it be Facebook or email or texting, making comments at the bottom of a news story, all of that can be very hurtful. It's really, really easy to spread untruth, things that you really don't know are true and haven't been backed up by evidence, but you can quickly spread rumors online. You can tear somebody down and it spreads like wildfire. It probably spreads faster on the internet than you can even possibly do physically in talking with people. So it's almost like the internet is like gasoline on the words of our speech. It can spread incredibly quickly. You're exactly right, Bill. And I think as Christians, we need to be careful about that. Not only slow to speak, but slow to type. Let that thought process slow down from our minds to our fingers before we hit that enter button. So, yeah, we need to be careful with that. And the last point he mentions here is that there are repercussions for our words. God will judge foolish speech. Jesus says in Matthew 12 that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? That every word that we speak, there's a record of it in God's mind. And we need to be on guard against saying worthless words, hurtful words, words that tear other people down, words that are untrue, because those can be, they can be used against us at the last day. Especially for those that are fools and their heart has not been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're just speaking out of the abundance of their foolish heart, it will be held against them on the last day. So we need to guard our words. That's the kind of the negative side. Don't use this kind of speech. And then the last part of the chapter is, so how should our speech be characterized? Well, it needs to be self-controlled. It needs to be controlled speech. Controls their words. They think before they speak. They're good listeners. They pay attention to when other people are speaking. They're not just waiting, you know, like a cheetah ready to pounce when somebody stops speaking so they can start speaking. They're genuinely listening, and they're intent on what the other person is saying. They're thoughtful. They think about what they're going to say before they say it. So be self-controlled with our speech. Speak with integrity, in the sense of speaking the truth. The promises that we speak, back them up with action and follow through. Speak with integrity. Another important principle in Proverbs is to build others up with our words, to seek the well-being of others with the things that we say. I think one way that we can show love in the body of Christ, yes, one way that we can show love are through actions, you know, doing things for people, helping them with something that they have a need in, giving to them if they have a specific need. But one way that we can really help and show love to the people of God is by just talking to them. speaking encouraging words to them, just mention to them in passing, you know, I'm praying for you this week, or give them a call and talk to them if they're going through a difficult time. Share with them a verse of scripture, or share with them a point of wisdom that maybe you have gleaned from reading the Word of God. But the things that we say need to be wise and helpful and edifying, and not hurting other people. And so when we speak this way, you have to be others focused, don't you? You have to be others focused. If you're speaking with the intentionality of, I want to build people up, I want to impart wisdom, I want to share truth, you have to think about the other person. And I think that's important too when we're talking to unbelievers and we're seeking to share the gospel with them. Unbelievers need the gospel, but we also need to be sensitive to their situation, where they're at in their stage in life, in their understanding of the Word of God, maybe particular situations in life that they've been through. And so we need to, I think each person, the gospel needs to be somewhat packaged for that person in their situation, where they are. We don't negotiate on the truths of the gospel, but we can approach each person individually based on where they are and the needs that they have. And so that's part of thinking about other people. And so building others up with our words. He talks about developing excellence in our speech, with our tone, the way that we say things. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So just the way that we say things, the tone that we say them, and even the timing when we say them. Proverbs 25:11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances, in the right season. So we need to be sensitive to the right timing as well as the right tone and the right words. And God values and rewards wise speech. So there are consequences for foolish speech. There are blessings for speaking with wisdom. And then the conclusion of the lesson is, how can we change our speech? James says that the tongue is uncontrollable. It can't be bridled. Well, how can we put this into practice then? How do we not flatter? How do we not lie? How do we tell the truth? How do we build others up? Well, it has to come from the heart, doesn't it? There's a sense in which you really can't bridle the tongue, but the heart can be bridled. The heart can be changed. And out of the heart comes either pure words or hurtful words. And so we need to seek that our heart is being conformed to the image of Christ. And ultimately, this is a work of grace, isn't it? It's a work of grace, God doing a work in our hearts and changing us from the inside out, so that when we speak, we're speaking out of a regenerated heart that loves God and wants to help other people. And then he finishes the lesson by just reminding us that Jesus is the ultimate communication of God to us. Speaking about words and the way that we communicate to other people, he reminds us that God has spoken to us with words. God has used human language to speak to us through appearing to people, through his prophets, through the apostles. He has spoken to us in human language, and he has spoken to us through his Son, who is called the Word, isn't he? He's the Word of God, the eternal Word. And when Jesus was on earth, he was the master of speech, of wise speech, of controlled speech. When he was cursed, when he was rebuked, when he was reviled, Peter says he did not turn that back on them. He did not revile them. Jesus was slandered, but he did not slander other people. He spoke the truth. He spoke with wisdom. He spoke with kindness. And so he is the ultimate example of a life of wise words, and we can learn a lot from him. And he's also the one who speaks to us wisdom through his word, through his Spirit that he has given to live in us. And so may we learn wisdom through Christ who lives with us.